In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the biggest obstacles to the spread of the gospel is the fact that so many Christians are such poor examples of what the gospel can do in people. Gandhi was a big admirer of Christ, and he read the Sermon on the Mount every day, but he once said that he would have become a Christian had it not been for the Christians that he met. And this is something that we should all think about, because when we call ourselves Christians, we are making a very important claim. We are claiming that we are followers of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we can take the name of the Lord in vain is by calling ourselves a Christian when we make no effort to really live a Christian life. Christ wrote seven letters to seven churches in Asia Minor, and of those seven churches, only two churches warranted no rebuke. But today I want to talk about one of those churches, and that's the church in Philadelphia. This is a church that really was living out their faith, and Christ had nothing negative to say to them. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." For one thing, this city, as you probably all know, we have a Philadelphia in the United States, and we know that that's supposed to be the city of brotherly love. We don't really see it that much played out in the streets of Philadelphia these days. But at least this Christian community in Philadelphia and Asia Minor really did have that. They really did have love for one another. They were living out the Christian life. And Christ addresses them and he says that he's holy. By saying that he's holy, Christ is making it very clear that he is God, because while we all strive to be holy, if we become holy, it's only in a sense that we are made holy by God. It's a sense in which we are made holy by grace. But only God is holy by nature, and Christ is saying that he is holy. He also says that he is true, which you could also translate that as real. It's not just saying that he says things that are true, but that he is the real thing. And then it says that he holds the keys of the kingdom, which means that he decides who will enter in and who will not. And that's why it says, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth, and no man openeth. Christ is the one that decides who will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The door of the kingdom of heaven was open to these believers because they were living the Christian life. There was nothing that would prevent them from coming. They were small, they were weak, but they were keeping the word of God, and they had not denied Christ's name in the face of persecution. And then it says, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. There are a number of prophecies in the Old Testament that we find where the prophets told the Israelites that the day would come when the Gentiles would behave in this way, because they were prophesying about the coming of the Gentiles to the faith. But here we have Christ saying that that would be true of those Jews that had rejected Christ, that the day would come that they would come to know who Christ was and return to the fold. And so this is a prophecy of that. But one of the things that this tells us is that there are those that are Jews genetically by ancestry, and then there are those that are the Israel of God, and the church is the Israel of God. But as we read about in the book of Romans, God is not done with those Jews that have rejected Christ. He still has a plan for them, and then in the last days they will return to the fold, which is one of the reasons why we should not hate them. We shouldn't hate anyone, but we certainly shouldn't hate them, because these people, if not themselves, if they don't become Christians themselves, they are going to give birth to children who one day will. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. The fathers say that this does not mean that they were not going to experience any trials, but that God would keep them from being overcome by those trials. And when we use the word keep, it's the same as it is in Greek or in Hebrew. The word means to guard, to attend to something carefully, to preserve, or to observe. And so when we keep God's word, we're told that God will keep us. God will carefully be attentive to us. He will preserve us from all harm and will see us through that open door that Christ talked about. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is one of the things that we always have to be on guard, because no matter how advanced we may be in the spiritual life, there is always the possibility of us letting it slip. Christ wouldn't warn us that this could happen if it wasn't possible that it could happen. There are a number of Protestants that are of the mistaken opinion that if you have committed yourself to Christ at any point in your life, that there's no possibility that you could lose your salvation. But that is not true. It is definitely possible that we could lose our salvation, but it's not that it could happen without us doing anything that would contribute to that. It's not that God is looking for some reason to send us to hell to sneak up behind us and say, boo, I caught you, you weren't doing something right. God is looking for reasons to save us, but if we aren't careful, if we are not on guard, we can lose our salvation. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. What this means is that those that overcome will become immovable pillars in the kingdom of God, that once we have finished the race, there is no possibility that what we have won in this life can be taken away from us. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. What the fathers tell us that this means is that in our hearts, God will inscribe the true knowledge of God and of the heavenly kingdom, and that we will have an intimate relationship with Christ beyond our ability to comprehend, and which is why these symbols are used. St. Bede also tells us that this new name that he will write upon us is the name Christian. St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of the Apostle John and was a very holy man, he wrote 7 epistles while he was on his way to be martyred. He had this to say about what it means to have the name of a Christian. Now I desire that those things may be confirmed by your conduct, which in your instruction ye enjoin on others. Only request in my behalf both inward and outward strength, that I may not only speak, but truly will, so that I may not merely be called a Christian, but really found to be one. For if I be truly found a Christian, I may also be called one, and be then deemed faithful, when I shall no longer appear to the world. If a man as holy as St. Ignatius, while he was on his way to martyrdom, would pray that he would be found worthy to be a Christian, that's something that we should always keep before our minds, and ask that we may be found worthy of that name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.